So, you know how when you join a new group, you're often asked to describe a fun fact about yourself? I've always got a really good one. I'm a triplet. Cool, right? Yeah. Now, one thing that's always really funny, though, is to see how people react to this. They're like, oh my God, you're my first triplet. Like, they've had this life-changing experience. Very flattering, of course. I love to be everybody's first triplet. And, you know, you also get, like, the normal questions, right? So, do you have any other brothers and sisters? And I say, no, thank God, my parents had an instant family when they had us. And they also ask, well, are you guys identical? You know, do you look alike? And I say, well, we're two girls and a boy, so no, we're definitely not identical. And then it's also always this question like, well, so what's it like being a triplet? Well, okay, I've only ever been a triplet. I don't know what it's like to not be a triplet. But what I can tell you is that it's also probably about as strange and yet as awesome as you think it is. So as I've kind of already alluded to, it's always been a part of my identity. Though it's not always like the greatest thing to be a triplet. A, you share a birthday, which is not awesome when it comes to presents, or, you know, attention all on you. You have to share all of the toys because seriously, are you really going to get one of everything? You have to share a car in high school and even a cell phone for a while. Talk about a dent on your social life. But there are also these really great advantages. So, for example, we actually can kind of read each other's minds. And if you seriously ever want to test this, play games like Taboo or Pictionary with us where we have to, like, you know, guess what someone is going to describe. We will always win. But I have to say, I don't think I ever fully appreciated just how amazing it is to have two people like your exact same age. Okay, if you don't count the minutes between us. And so we moved on to high school and we moved from Texas to North Carolina. And seriously, I would have been completely lost and alone if I didn't have my siblings with me. But now, what made this whole transition, which is already stressful enough, you know, going to middle school, high school, big fish, little fish, even more crazy, was that we were not the only triplets in our freshman class, right? I mean, what are the odds of that? Someone, some statistician or something can calculate that for us. And so, of course, we met the other set almost immediately, and it turns out we're actually still friends to today. So, you know, that was pretty cool. But this was such a weird thing for our little town that the local paper ran a story on us. And wait. And they titled it, 3 times 2 equals fun. Yeah, this is how exciting Cary, North Carolina is. Now, another thing about this, though, they didn't just talk to the kids, even though it was our picture, you know, in the paper. So that was always exciting. They also talked to our parents. And in talking to our parents, you know, they're asking questions like, so what's it like, you know, having triplets? What are your parenting secrets? Because seriously, if you have 3 kids at once, 2 parents, 3 kids, there's always one that has to otherwise be accounted for. So you are like parenting gods and goddesses if you can handle triplets. So everybody wants to ask parents, right? How do you do it? So, you know, they get these normal questions. And then another question came up that was a little weird to me. And it was basically, so were your kids conceived naturally or through in vitro fertilization, or otherwise known as IVF? And for those of you not totally familiar with it, IVF is basically this scientific technique to have, you know, help couples have children. So egg and sperm are obtained from mom and dad, respectively. The eggs are fertilized in little petri dishes, and then they're grown in an incubator until they turn into little embryos and stuff, and then they're ultimately, you know, implanted into mom's uterus. And wow, that's a lot of biological details. And so what basically this guy was asking was that, so are your children what we also call test tube babies? So now our friends, their parents basically revealed, yeah, you know, our kids were conceived naturally, but that mom didn't realize that she was carrying triplets until the day of delivery. Surprise! But, you know, my parents revealed something that to me was actually even more startling than this. And it was that we, my siblings and I, were actually IVF babies. Now, my first thought when I heard this was like, dude, this is not okay. Not okay. I mean, who wants to think that they started in some lab, right? And I was in such denial about this for a while that I distinctly remember some little while later in high school where we're having some like class discussion, and one student turns to me and she's like, but you guys were IVF babies, right? And I'm like, dude, no, we were like totally natural. So, I mean, and it was kind of aggressive about this, which if you guys know me, that's not really my thing. So either somebody had apparently actually read the article, or they just assumed that, you know, since triplets and even today are still not terribly common, that there's no way that this just could have been a totally natural process, right? And that's also kind of the thing, though, that my parents, even after telling us this, never considered it anything unnatural. I mean, my mom still carried us. She can tell you stories of what that's like, how she kind of maybe missed the only chance to go see Michael Jackson down in Atlanta. Sorry, Mom. You know, she still delivered us, which could not have been fun. Three kids in labor all at once. Thank God we're only like 2 minutes and then another minute apart, because I've heard it can get way worse than that. And we're also still unequivocally our parents' children. I mean, you can see it in our faces and kind of our personalities. And I'm kind of starting to go a little gray early, just like my dad and stuff. So, you know, we're totally their kids. And since they always consider this to be just this totally natural thing, we basically kind of did too. Like, it wasn't something that I really thought much about after that. It's not something that just comes up, hey, you guys were IVF, right? Like it did in that, you know, class discussion. And so we, you know, more or less just kind of forgot about it, you know, just push it to the back of your mind, you know, other crazy things in high school, college, and all of this that you worry about instead. So I basically, you know, put it away until the summer right before my senior year of college. So it was at the end of this internship, and my coworkers and I, we had gone to this like ice cream parlor near this farm in North Carolina, and it's like sunset, and we're sitting on the porch in a rocking chair and eating amazing ice cream. And as often happens in, you know, work gatherings and stuff, the topic of families come up. And so at this point, after spending 10 weeks with them, that I realized I never told them that I'm a triplet. Should I bring this up? Would it be really awkward to leave out this kind of a big part of my life? So I say, whatever, I'll go ahead and tell them. And of course, they're like, oh my God, that's amazing. How have you never told us before? I mean, it's not something that just naturally comes up in conversation. Hey guys, I'm a triplet, you know, and I often usually forget who I haven't told, you know, anyway. And so again, it's also the usual question. So what are they like? What do they do? And I mentioned that, you know, they're really smart, you know, full disclosure, we finished first, third, and fourth in our high school class. Woo! And that they're also pursuing, you know, science or engineering degrees. And everyone's like, wow, you know, that's really cool. And then one woman, I'll call her Louise, she turns to me and she's like, so, were you guys conceived naturally or through IVF? And, you know, I'm going to be honest now, right? I've grown up a little bit. I'm not in high school anymore. And I say, yeah, you know, we were actually IVF. And then she's like, in this amazing Southern accent, which I'm not going to imitate, by the way, because I could not do a Southern accent to save my life. Whoa, there must have been something in that media. Okay, and when I talk about media, in this case, for you non-scientists in the audience, this is the food that we use to give to cells. This is not newspaper or mainstream media or, like, you know, television or anything like that. This is cell food. Okay, just keep that in mind. And when she said this, my brain kind of froze. It was, you know, that feeling you get like when the world gets a little fuzzy and you start feeling really warm, a little bit like I am right now. And it's just like, oh my God, you're going to like pass out. And I can imagine for some of you guys, it's like, why would you have that kind of reaction? That sounds like, you know, a pretty ordinary kind of innocuous comment. And so let me just explain. I'm a biologist. This means that I do a lot of experiments with living things. I mean, biology is the study of life, after all. Now, in, you know, school and stuff, everybody's like dissected frogs or pigs or worms or, you know, crazy things. But, you know, you're usually working on something that's already dead, right? You don't actually have to kill them first. So in the name of science, I joined a fruit fly genetics lab where I poured liquid nitrogen over wiggling little larvae and ground them up in order to extract their DNA. So if there's a fruit fly hell, I might be going there. And then I also thought that, like, you know, cute furry creatures and stuff would completely be off limits, right? Until I joined an embryonic development lab where I had to decapitate by hand pregnant mice and extract the embryos in order to test whether or not they had actually incorporated some gene or not. So if there's a mouse hell, I am totally going there. But before you think that I like next strangled puppies or something in the name of science, let me just clarify that in my whole research career, most of the wet lab or whatever work I've done involves cells. They're not cute. They don't think. They don't feel. They're just tiny little blobs that grow in petri dishes. And they're usually pretty easy to grow. You just have to feed them with media, as I've explained, is cell food. And you have to keep them warm and cozy, you know, in an incubator. And when I think Louisa's comment made me realize in this, like, visceral kind of soul-searching way was that that's kind of how my siblings and I started. We were cells in a petri dish in an incubator before, you know, we were in our mom. That some lab technician followed a protocol, used a formula, put us initially in a little dish, and kept us in an incubator until we were, you know, big enough and stuff to be, you know, for our mom to receive us. And as I've worked with cells, I've also killed a lot of cells, not always intentionally. So, you know, sometimes you forget to feed them. Sometimes the incubator goes a little crazy and they all die. And sometimes they get infected by bacteria. And I see some heads nodding, yeah, biologist. And so what it kind of made me realize is life is really fragile. That in a way, it's kind of miraculous that we made it, but that there are millions of others today that also made it through this process. And what I think it finally took was for me to become a scientist to actually be okay with this, to think that, you know, this is actually a wonderful thing, that this is what gave my parents the children that they had wanted for so long, that, you know, who cares if this is some unnatural process, that even my siblings and I, we don't care if people think we're synthetic or we're some miracle of science or something weird, forget fashion people who think they know anything about science, that life ultimately is what you make of it. It's not how you start it. Thank you.